whole Mary, this, we were backing out of the driveway a while ago. I told him I shouldn't have ate supper because I surely feel the effects of it right at the moment. Maybe we'll get organized here and bring our thoughts to you. This is a familiar statement, I think, that a lot of us have heard before, and it certainly is a truth that applies in many instances in our life. I know others have experienced the same thing. Somebody will ask you, well, how you doing? Well, we're making it all right, but then sometimes it's not making it all right. Maybe you'll say, well, you look great. But inwardly, I know different, so I know most of us have been affected by this from time to time. So tonight, I want to just talk about this just a little bit, but I'll take notice of a passage in Proverbs, the 16th chapter, verse 25. It said, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And surely we look about us in society today, and we see individuals and those of our neighbors and friends that we have a great deal of concern for, and yet we realize that because of the nature of their religion that they follow, that things are not all right, though they may have that idea. But there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And we ought not to be misled by things that people think is right and proper. We want to recognize that there is no acceptable or substitute accepted by God. We find in the case of Nahab and Abihu that offered a substitute, and as a result, they forfeited their life. In Leviticus 10 and verse 1 says, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which commanded them not. So God is not indifferent to substitutes. And we cannot substitute that which is pleasing unto God. In many activities of our worship, we know that the practice among denominations the world today, it's acceptable to utilize the all forms of instrumental accompaniment in their singing. And we know that that's not right from God's perspective, because he has told us what is proper, that we are to sing with the spirit and with the understanding, not with the accompaniment of an instrument. An instrument cannot by any means give forth the feelings and the sentiment of a song. Oh, we know that some individuals, I know Jordan was talking one day last week about the Cincinnati Symphony. A number of them were over Dakota East freshman school, and they were performing over there. I love, and you might think this is strange, but I do love classical music as much as I do like bluegrass. But at one time, I was totally appreciative of classical music. And I have been in music hall and heard many different pieces that are brought about by the Symphony Orchestra of Cincinnati. But continuing on in Numbers, the 26th chapter and verse 61, it says, and Nadab and Abihu died when they offered strange fire before the Lord. You know, I can build a couple of campfires, as we sometimes do, and unless we have some kind of a additive, I can't tell one side of fire from another. Now, Brother Jack Steele showed us an addition that changes the appearance of a campfire, and it burns with the use of an additive in addition to the wood, it burns with all types of glowing flames, blue and purple and green and yellow, and it's a beautiful, beautiful fire. But to me, I couldn't tell one from the other if it wasn't for that particular circumstance. And then Nadab and Abihu were indifferent to what God said. And we don't take anything that God says as incidental. There's nothing that God says that is incidental or without direction. What he said is what it should be. And I can't modify, change it in any fashion and be pleasing in his sight. It was a small thing. Fire is fire, we might think of. But it wasn't in God's sight because he had not given authority for them to make such a decision. The lesson to be learned that God will not accept that which he has not authorized. And it's sad that people today in the religious world cannot understand this precept. In spite of all the judgment that God has brought on them, the people of Israel, it's astounding to me that there's no lesson to be learned, it seems like, by mankind in reference to this criteria of doing that which God authorizes. When he says sing, he didn't mean play. Every one of us knows the difference. But why has man altered that which God has accepted or has authorized? Again, we need to be admonished that we should not be deceived. Just because a so-and-so educated professor thinks that one thing is right doesn't make it right. The laws of God are not to be overlooked, nor is anything that he says to be incidental or without direction. Paul says in Galatians 6 and verse 3, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. And it is sad of the world today who are being deceived and thinking all is well. But you know, we must realize that just as in the days concerning the destruction of Jerusalem, there was security and there was no expectations of any horror coming about. But God says, ultimately, a swift destruction comes upon them. One of the many dangers we face in life is pride and overconfidence if we do not rely on the Lord for strength. I don't know the aspect of many or viewpoints of many in the world today, but to me, to go in through life without God would be a horrible situation. You know, I've been through it. Brother Pike's been through it, and Sister Pike also at some times, and most of us have went through some very problems with our health. But I can't think of not facing such a situation without God would be most horrible. I know when I was going through this past operation, going into the surgery room, I was at peace with myself. I didn't know the outcome and what it might be, just like Brother Pike did when he had his heart attacks. But we had the assurance that God would be with us. And if it be that he wants to call us home, then so be it. And I had nothing to fear. But this is one of the dangers when individuals think they can go through life and not have the confidence that God will strengthen us. In Philippians, the 4th chapter, and verse 13, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And I think every child of God ought to appreciate what Paul says there. We ought to incorporate the Lord in every aspect of our lives. And we'll talk about some of the decisions that we will be called upon to make as we do go through life. And without being strengthened by the Lord, in all probability, we may make some wrong decisions more so than what we do. But this statement should be our guide and our motto as we make our decisions in life. That we can do, we can overcome, we can do many things if the Lord strengthens us and guides us in a way that we should. We can overcome many things. The Apostle Paul considered himself not to be a gifted orator, but he was the one that was the most active of the apostles, in the sense that he traveled, went through more, perhaps a lot more temptations and trials and tribulation, and yet it did not deter him, because he knew, as he expressed to Timothy, that the Lord stood with me and that he alone was a sufficient strength that enabled Paul to face even death. Some decisions that require much thought and prayer. And I just wonder, how many times are we incorporating the Lord in the decisions that we make? I remember some years ago, a brother in Christ was contemplating moving into an area where there was no congregation. Well, that's not good. In many cases and many times, an individual with lesser faith might actually be complacent and not seek to even start a congregation. That might have been an alternative, but why would you go into circumstances where you would not be encouraged and be able to assemble with the saints of God? So there is decisions that we need to make from time to time. And I think here's one of the biggest decisions that our young people are going to have to face. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, Solomon says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Every journey we take must be preceded with proper preparation. Lack of preparation may result in tragic results. So we need to understand that we're preparing for life's journey. And the best and only way is to put on Christ Jesus and walk according to his commandments and his precepts, that whatever the situation may be, that we can depend upon the Lord to guide us safely home. We see every day individuals of all walks of life being killed, innocently so, on the roads, and some you can't even understand how it could happen. But in Matthew, the 25th chapter and 7th verse, it says, "The five foolish virgins did not make ample preparation and was left outside when the bridegroom came." And this is one lesson that all of us needs to learn, that we need to make preparations, and the earliest the better, because we then won't be tempted and turned aside by the things and adversities that we might be called upon to face in our journey through this life. I cannot imagine not making the preparations for that journey. Do not make the same mistake that individuals do today. In this case, you're in the foolish virgins. There were five that were wise, and they had ample oil for their lamps. But the other five, as they slumbered and slept, and their lamps went out because they didn't have sufficient oil for their lamps. And when they tried to borrow it from those that had, they couldn't give them any, because they had only enough for them to carry themselves through. And while they were going to get more oil, the bridegroom came, and they pleaded and wanted to come in. But they could not. The doors were shut. Other decisions we may affect our future. Choose well as you select your lifelong companion. So many individuals take it lightly of choosing a companion. And recognizing the danger of choosing the wrong companion. And I'm going to give a piece of advice to all that are contemplating seeking out a companion. And that is, don't make the mistake that you can change the actions or activities of an individual after you're married. It just does not work. My dad always made a statement that always has stuck with me. He says, always pick somebody that is at least better than you are in order that you might be able to gain strength one toward the other. Not a bad idea. In Matthew 19:6, it says, wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. This is a lifelong journey. This is a lifelong companion that we are talking about, and it's not something that should be taken lightly. But a attitude of most day is, well, if it don't work out, we can get a divorce and start over again. But too many times after they made this mistake, then they're setting themselves in a situation where the harshest reality is going to dawn on them, that God also gives directions that might violate your thinking. But if you make a bad state and are separated or divorced without the cause of fornication, there's no remarriage that you can engage in and be lawful. Choose well the school or college you plan to attend. Some will draw you away from God. And I'm amazed at the colleges that I know of that were once established based upon religious principles. Can you imagine that Harvard School was a religious school at one time? Now they are probably one of the farthest away from the truth of any institution of higher learning. So we need to recognize that there's challenges, that you're only increasing your probability of turning away from Christ if you choose the wrong place to attend school and where you get your learning and directive from. What vocation will you choose in life? And I know that many have waited till late in life before they make this decision, but I suggest to you that we need to make this decision as close to the future as you can right now, because you have to make the preparations that you might be able to choose a life that will enable you to maintain your faith in the Lord. You know, a lot of people, they are excited about the casinos going to be built downtown Cincinnati. Oh, there's jobs and going to be a lot of jobs available. But can you imagine a Christian dealing cards or whatever other activity? I know there's probably a whole lot of different housekeeping and whatever. But it's like one of my friends once told me, they were talking one time, and he's an accomplished musician. Play a practically any stringed instrument you could lay before him. And this topic got around to, why don't you try to make your way through in the musical field? He said, well, one of the biggest problems is when you start out, especially with bluegrass and country music, you've got to go into places, bars, and all kinds of places of entertainment in order to get bookings and to build your reputation. He wasn't willing to make that sacrifice. And these decisions can impact your life. Any of these decisions that we make relative to a vocation or companionship and what have you will cause many to be deceived. And Paul says in Ephesians 5:6, let no man deceive you with vain words, For because of all these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. One that made a bad decision, in Luke 15, verse 11 to 24, the prodigal son, he requested of his father to give him his portion of his inheritance. His inheritance he foolishly spent without any thought of what tomorrow may bring. And we know the end of his situation. Fortunately, he did come to himself, return to the house of his father. But many are not so inclined. And I believe this very principle is one of the causes of our economic meltdown that we're experiencing today. Many spent more money that they did not have or the things that they could have done without. And that's one of the gists of things. Everybody made bad investments and always yearning for something greater and bigger. Be good stewards of that which God has blessed us with. That is a responsibility that we have. So what is your life? James 4:14 says, whereas you know not what it shall be on the morrow, for what is life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. In making our decisions in relation to our life, we must realize that we have limited time and must make the most of it. In making our decisions, we might ask the question, what criteria are you and I using? Remember, things are not always what they appear. Thank you.